This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
I get it, and it's somewhat like the Lyft and Uber mission too, you know, to have less cars on the road and, you know, to change the model of car ownership. The thing is, parking is something we cannot brush to the side when we think about prop tech, especially when we think about real estate itself. Just consider that we have a shortage of parking spaces in very heavily developed, you know, neighborhoods, right? Or a shortage of publicly accessible parking spaces, really.
Key difference.
Exactly, yep. Publicly accessible parking spaces. Yep. But the way we build parking spaces, that's expensive. That takes up a lot of land. Mm-hmm. It changes real estate completely when you realize we don't need to have X number of parking spots because they're never used 100% of the time anyway. Right. I could build more. I could have bigger buildings. I could make more revenue from buildings. Or I could provide a better experience for people. I could have more housing. Instead, you're in a place where you've got parking versus housing. And when you have a shortage of housing, that's a tragedy, really. You know. So if you could unlock parking spaces, that would be great. Now, I obviously delighted you for a moment when I talked about publicly accessible parking. Talk to us a little bit about the myth here that people think there's never enough parking. I think you disagree with that. There is plenty of parking, you think, right?
Yep. I really disagree with the contention that I hear, you know, you hear constantly, whether you're at a city council meeting or whether you're in an office or where, you know, wherever you are, that there's not enough parking nearby. There is enough parking nearby. It's just sitting empty. And to give an example of that, I think that if we can scale our product properly, we can eliminate public parking garages. There's no reason for my hometown of Palo Alto to have just spent $35 million building, I think, about, you know, 400 parking spaces to the tune of, it's going to cost them, if they amortize that over 30 years, $700 per parking space per month in a neighborhood where I know, because I've met with the property owners, that there are hundreds of parking spaces sitting vacant, especially when they were needed by the city and kind of the city's view during the day, during lunch hour, in the evenings, at dinner hours. They have hundreds of parking spaces sitting, empty nearby. And again, I know this because I've toured them with the parking the management companies, and the city just didn't have a way to get, you know, to kind of connect those parties. There wasn't a way to get that property owner of the apartment building down the street to make their parking publicly accessible. And so the city felt like it had to spend $35 million. And this is a city whose one of their top three goals in 2020 was fighting climate change, just built a $35 million parking garage. And they're giving away most of the parking in it for free, again, because people feel like there's not enough parking. So we can, I want to solve that problem. And really, you know, I want to wipe the public parking garage, you know, off the face of our city.
So to punctuate your vision here, it's like, I'll give you two analogies, right? And one's going to be more extreme than the other. You're hungry, you want to go eat, you look at the restaurant, and okay, there's like plenty of tables available. Can you just please sit me down? No, we can't, they're all reserved. Okay, but I've been staring outside, hungry, I've got money, I want to eat, okay? All these tables are empty, and they've been empty for the whole day. Now imagine you go to a hospital, and you need treatment, and there's all these beds, and they're all available, you just can't access it. Well, these two metaphors are relevant because how many times has a consumer found themselves in a situation where they're parking somewhere, or they're trying to park, they just can't park anywhere, and they're looking around and there's all these gated parking lots and they're all empty.
Exactly.
And it's like, hold on a second, a stone's throw away. We're not talking about driving six blocks to find an empty parking spot, and startups have tried doing this, by the way, you know, where you can book parking. We should talk about that in a minute. But it's like, wait, I'm here and I'm looking through that gate and there's like nine parking spots free, but the street's crowded. Something is clearly wrong here. And if you fix this problem, not only are you making life easier for the consumer, you're bringing revenue potentially for that landowner who is opening up their parking spot. And on a citywide level, you potentially can solve the parking crisis and re-engineer or reposition things. What Airbnb did for home ownership, and not home ownership, but how people travel, right? And what the hotel industry does. Do you think what Airbnb did to hotels, you're trying to do for parking spaces? Is that a fair analogy?
I think that's what we're trying to do to public parking garages, definitely, right? Anytime, and again, I'll go back to that Palo Alto example because it's my hometown and I feel it very personally. But yeah, there was no reason to. $35 million in public money is a lot of money, and it's money that could have been deployed, you know, in a lot of different ways. You know, they're seeing massive. There's a housing crisis. They could have. Yeah, or think about, you know, why could, like, make transit free, you know, feed people, house people. They have their, on El Camino Real in Palo Alto, there are dozens of vans that people live in. You know, there are so many other ways they could have deployed that capital, especially, again, when you go back to thinking about their strategic goals as a city. One of their top three goals is fighting climate change. Well, building a brand new parking garage to the tune of $35 million, not building housing, which means you don't build housing on that lot, and then giving that away for free so that everybody thinks, oh, well, it's free, I might as well drive rather than walk or bike, is a travesty. And I want to solve that problem and get these nearby landowners to make their spaces available, initially just ensuring that the spaces are available to their own tenants, because we can get into this. In a lot of cases, even your own tenants can't get the parking they need in their building, but then eventually the public as well. And I really, I do see a lot of parallels to what Lyft has done with vehicles. You know, I used to walk down the street. I mean, I used to, in San Francisco, hold my hand up for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, trying to get a taxi places. And you'd see, similarly, you'd see, you know, hundreds of cars driving by that were empty. Now I don't need to hold my hands up. I open an app and I book a seat in a car and I can hop in with somebody else. And maybe they're going in that same direction, maybe they're not. Hotels, similar metaphor for sure. I think we want to better utilize the parking we have built and stop building so much new parking rather than just encouraging, you know, the vast overabundance of parking we have today.
Do you think it's a dangerous time to be a real estate investor who is focused on parking spaces? And I don't mean because the pandemic happened and, you know, everything went out of whack, right? The utilization of parking spaces was so dramatic. In some places, parking garages or public parking spaces were able to reposition themselves as COVID-19 testing centers or mass vaccination sites or whatever it could be, right? But I mean, moving forwards, are you in the wrong business if you're thinking to yourself, I want to enter the parking business, I want to create a garage and I want to charge for that? Do you think that's like trying to build hotels when Airbnb is coming out?
I think so.
Plenty of our listeners are probably in the business of buying and operating parking spaces. What's your advice to them? You think if there's a way, should everyone short? If there was such a way to short sell the industry, should you? Well, you can. There's probably public companies that do this, by the way.
I would say, you know, they should reconsider that investment and, you know, consider investing in us instead. I think, you know, the future, I do not think that the future is bright for public parking garages. I think that the day is coming, and it's coming fast, where we're going to be able to better utilize the parking that's nearby, that's just latent supply, rather than needing to rely on the model we have today, which again does look very similar to the hotel. You know, if you just zoom back 10, 15 years, you know, the hotel world, why, you know, in 2005, why would you not invest in hotels? Right? It makes total sense. Well, now you can build a hotel, but you might be building it across the street from, you know, apartment building or condo building that's going to have 20% of its inventory on Airbnb. And that's, you know, that's a scarier proposition.
If you don't see that coming, ouch. And you don't see it coming, frankly. And here's the part that I don't understand about real estate. The biggest contradiction in real estate is this, okay? Prop tech, quite slow adoption. I appreciate that. Okay, but in the scale of 5-10 years, things change a lot. When people buy real estate, they're underwriting for 5-10 plus years. Well, it's tragic that you're making these plans with assumptions the world is going to stay the way it is. even the fact that if you've got parking spaces attached or you're building a parking lot, right, and you're resurfacing it, and by the way, you should maintain parking spots in good condition, you know, that's a key way to add value when you buy multifamily. I've done it myself. But dangerous here, you know, if you're going to go overkill and build wonderful parking spaces and make them even bigger, 5-10 years down the line, that space is now redundant and you're going to have to claw back and you're going to have to reuse it. You know, or maybe you can make revenue for it, but there is such a thing as too many parking spots too, right? Do you not feel that too? Like, maybe in urban dense cities, parking is difficult to access, but in other areas, maybe not in a densely populated area, there's plenty of parking spaces around on the streets too.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a couple thoughts about how I would kind of think about it if I'm, you know, an owner of multifamily or a property manager of multifamily. I mean, one is obviously we talked about future proofing. So ensuring that those parking lots, those parking spots can be repurposed for other things. Yeah. So, you know, building on flat land, you know, those kind of things, I think that's really essential. Or maybe having, you know, you build a 20-story building and the parking goes 5 floors up. Make sure that, you know, the 5th and the 4th floor could be easily converted to housing or office or, you know, something like that with relative ease.
This is a radical, okay? Because people in real estate are not thinking, oh, well, one day convert this. They're just basically saying, no, according to my spreadsheet, we need X number of parking spots per resident. And what you're saying is, whoa, slow down there. 10 years down the line, you're going to have empty parking places. That's what you're predicting here. And so you might as well have some redundancy in that, so you can easily pivot and make more revenue rather than be in a problem where you're, you know, losing revenue.
Yeah, well, I think there's two things there's probably three things we can do for these folks. I mean, one is I want to help developers build less of it, right? So if your pro forma is telling you that you need 1.7 spots per unit for your new multifamily development, let's talk, and I bet we can get you down to 1.4, 1.3, because what happens with those 1.7 you build, you're gonna build, you know, 170 parking spaces for 100 units, you're gonna make them, you know, available to your tenants, and they're not gonna be well utilized. And that's where I think, you know, we can help with that today and help get those spots better utilized today. And then what I also wanna do is if you do build those parking spots, where you do already have those parking spots today in the world, well, we could help you decrease your parking needs today by parking more cars and fewer spots with Parkade. And then if you have built your parking in a way where you can convert it, we can help you do that faster, right? You see this all the time where there's, you know, a phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, right? Someone buys a plot of land and phase 1 has been built, it's got underground parking. Phase 2 is just a parking lot and they're not sure when to start. And they're worried about starting too soon because they don't want to make phase 1 unrentable, right? People are using that phase 2 surface parking lot. How can they destroy it for the next, you know, the next phase of housing if people are using it? I want to help that happen faster. I want to make sure that if you're worried about the marketability of your units because you're worried you're going to be underparked if you do reutilize that land, we can help them get there much faster than they otherwise would. And we do it, again, in a bunch of different ways. We do it by just making the parking really easy for the residents to reserve and access. Usually, most property managers that we see, for residents to get a parking space, they have to send an email to the property manager, they have to visit the office, they have to sign a sublease, it gets added to the rent. Because of all the work involved, there's no way to even rent a spot for a weekend. It's always, you know, you have to, a common thing I hear is you have to rent for the entire duration of your lease, or you have to rent for a minimum of a year or 90 days. That's crazy. Residents have so many short and midterm parking needs. Let's help them accomplish those quicker. And maybe those developments where you're feeling overparked today, we can help drive a lot of more revenue out of those empty spaces, because suddenly residents aren't just faced with this question of, do I park in the street or do I rent an extra spot for a year? We can put those spots to use for hours or days or weeks. So that can help. And then I really want to help them long-term as well.